Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we wholeheartedly believe women entrepreneurs can rise together. Success comes in many flavors. There are no secret strategies. Women entrepreneurs are rewriting history by defining success on their own terms. Hi, I'm White Dove Gannon, the down-to-earth chick with a different name. Entrepreneur and founder of the Female Entrepreneur Movement, our business is dedicated to helping women start and grow their businesses, increasing financial independence. Each week, join me for inspiring stories and powerful interviews of women entrepreneurs sharing their lessons to success to help you take your business to the next level. Now, let's go for it. Welcome, everyone, to the FemNation podcast. Today, I get to have the awesome privilege of interviewing Lauren Conaway with Innovate Her. She is the founder and CEO of Innovate Her out of Kansas City, and I am super thrilled to bring her story to you and give you an idea of what her path has looked like going forward. Lauren, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
Yay. So let's dive in. Tell me about your journey of why you created Innovate Her, and then we're going to step back from there to really the beginning of the beginning.
Okay. All right. So Innovate Her started by accident, and I find that some of the best things do.
Yes.
But I call it serendipitous accident, I guess. So what happened... So I worked previously for the Kansas City Startup Foundation, which is an organization. It's of ecosystem builders and community builders for startups and entrepreneurship here in Kansas City. And it was interesting because about a year into my tenure, I looked around and I realized I was meeting all of these really incredible women, but I wasn't really connecting with them on a deep level. I would always see them out at events, and I was either executing the event because we did a lot of events for KCSF, or I would, just run into somebody very quickly and, you know, hand out my business card, let's go grab coffee sometime. And then that never really materialized. And so I very selfishly realized that I wanted to connect with some of these awesome women on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And took it upon myself to bring together, I think there were about 12 of us the first time out, and this was literally just women that I wanted to get to know, put together an outing for us to go get mani-pedis. And so we had champagne and we had snacks and we, you know, just chatted and had a really great time, just kind of pampering ourselves and being a little girly and hanging out. And so what was really cool about that moment in time was, so the women who went had a great time. The feedback that I got was really positive, and they kept asking me, well, so when's the next one? And I hadn't really thought that far, but what was even more telling to me was I had women for the next week or so reaching out to me, women that I had never met, sending me emails and saying, oh, I want to get on the list for this. And I have to come to this. I heard about it. It was such a great time. And I was like, you know, there's no list. This was just a very informal thing. But there was a little germ of an idea in my head that, okay, you know, maybe this is something that on a quarterly basis we could put together, just an opportunity to get together with some really awesome startup community women.
Right.
Well, around the same time, there's a founder here by the name of Carlonda McKinney. She has a startup called Roxo, and she was working on custom-made bras for women, and more specifically, trying to revolutionize the way women take their measurements for bras, because it can be a very, you know, annoying process. Sure. For anybody who's ever gotten a custom bra.
Right.
She reached out to me. She was looking for women to take part in some focus groups that she was having. And she was like, you know, a lot of women, would you mind? And so I, you know, of course, lazily, again, like the serendipitous laziness thing, instead of sending out individual emails to women that I thought would be interested, I created a Facebook group chat. And I sent it out to about 20 women. I was like, hey, if you want to support a female founder, you can do so by signing up for a slot for one of these focus groups. And what was funny is these women, like we all kind of tangentially knew each other or had heard of each other. I knew everybody because I was kind of the linchpin, but we were all familiar with each other. And we all started sharing nightmare bra stories. And so we're talking and in that conversation evolved and we started talking about, you know, being a woman in a startup space and sharing, right, cracking jokes. And this conversation, it went on and on and on. And for anybody who spends a lot of time on Facebook and particularly in Facebook group chats, you know that often in these group chats, people leave because you get sick of the notifications and it's not relevant information for you, but no left. And not only that, women started adding other women to this group. And so it just kept growing. And over the course of time, like this conversation went on for almost 2 weeks in one form or another. And it was just, it was kind of a stream of consciousness about being a woman in the startup community in Kansas City. And so taking that and taking the experience that I had with this mani-pedi event that we did, I was like, you know, there's something here. Like there's some need that's not being met. And what can we do to just connect these women in a way that feels very real and that doesn't feel quite so transactional as running into someone at an event and, you know, here's what I do. What do you do? So I created, we were originally called Startup Sheroes. And I created a Facebook group and I just invited about 50 women that I knew from the entrepreneurial ecosystem in Kansas City. And we just kind of, that's how it started. Totally by accident. I had no idea. Like one day I looked down and we had 600 members and I was like, oh God, like this, wow. This is actually a thing. And I mean, now we have over 800 and we're adding individuals every day. And so it's just kind of snowballed into this really fantastic opportunity to connect and encourage and amplify the efforts of these amazing women.
Right.
So yeah, that's the story.
were you an entrepreneur prior to this, or did this just kind of come out of, you know, you determining a need for these women?
Yes. So I have been an entrepreneur off and on throughout my entire employment history. When I was in college, I'm originally from St. Louis and I started a webzine called FTL Scene. And it was just kind of crowdsourcing articles. Like it was Huffington Post before there was a Huffington Post. For the arts community in Kansas City, in St. Louis, and did decently well. From that, it was founded right around the time that social media was becoming a thing, when they were finally figuring out what to call it. And so we used a lot of different social media platforms and tools that people were unfamiliar with. So, we're talking like, these are the days of like AOL chat rooms and Zanga.
Wow.
And like,
that goes way back.
Yeah, way back in the day. And so we were using these tools to good effect to pick up readers. And so I had people begin to like reach out to me and ask, so how do you do this? What are you doing that is what secret sauce, basically? And I realized at some point I was like, huh, you know, I could probably make some money doing this.
Right.
And so I actually started consulting in social media, and picked up additional skills. Like my background is, I studied history and English literature at college, so didn't really have a marketing background, but over the course of time, have picked up, you know, additional skills, content creation and web development and things like that. So I, started to consult in the marketing vein, while at the same time working for some pretty large corporate entities, first in hotels, then in aerospace, then in IT, and finally automotive. And so I have a corporate background, but have always been a bit of an entrepreneur, first with firm V3 Creative and then Ideative Creative. So I have a pretty firm, strong background in marketing and ops. That's kind of where my hats that I've worn have been. So this is not my first foray into entrepreneurism. This is the first time I have ever tried to lead a mission-driven social good venture.
What do you think about the mission-driven side of it? Do you think that that's extremely important for women entrepreneurs at this point in time to be mission-driven?
I mean, I think that any entrepreneur, women or not, has to have a passion for what they're doing. Like, I mean, the work that you do as an entrepreneur, as you well know, often frustrating, and you feel like you're beating your head against a wall. And so I think that having that passion, whether it be, you know, for a product, like I think this product is better than any other product out there, and I'm going to promote it, to the more mission-driven social good enterprises, like women are important to me, and elevating and amplifying them. How do I do that? You have to have that fire in you on a day-to-day, because if you don't, you're going to burn out. You're going to get sick of what you're doing. You're going to lose interest and move on. So, I mean, I think it's germane to any kind of enterprise as an entrepreneur.
What would you define as success?
For Innovate Her KC? Or for...
As an entrepreneur.
Okay. So I think for me, success is related to the mission. Like I could sit here and say, oh, well, once we reach, you know, 1,000 members, or once we do this or that, like there are all kinds of benchmarks that you can use to measure success. But for me, it's more, those are just data points. It's more about the actual success metrics, like the impact metrics. So if we have 800 members, but, you know, 20% of those women have reached leadership positions at a C-suite level within the past 2 years, like that's more of a predictor or an indicator of the health of Innovate Her KC. And so I think it's really important to look at those numbers. So for instance, if you're a startup who's selling a product and you say, okay, well, we made this much in revenue and we sold this many, you know, copies of our software or licenses or, you know, what have you, I think that the real number that you need to be looking at is our customers saved 10% of their time on a daily basis because of the tool that we sold to them.
Right.
So I think looking at those like secondary impact metrics is super important. How much impact are you having? And when I can say personally that Innovate Her KC is helping women to become leaders and to better do their jobs, that's success for me.
So it totally makes sense. Yes. What I want to ask you though is, having the conversation with the women entrepreneurs that you work with at Innovate Her, what is their definition of success? Are they commonly putting, you know, those, you know, the metrics, the first tier metrics or the second tier metrics? What bubbles up from the entrepreneurs that you're hearing from and working with?
So the unifying factor, so not all members of Innovate Her KC are entrepreneurs the traditional like definition of the word. But they are all entrepreneurial. And so we have female founders who their definition of success is more in that first kind of KPI metric vein, where it's like, oh, you know, we want to sell this many products. We want to, you know, have this much in revenue. We want to see this much. You have educators who their indicators of success are very different. We want our students to achieve these test scores. We want them to feel confident about solving problems and being leaders within their community. You know, we have politicians who their success metrics are, you know, we want to get elected, and then we want to be able to, you know, use our platform to pursue policies that are supportive for this, you know, these different stakeholders. And so it's very the numbers and the targets change from what women are doing. I say that we transcend industry and sector because our unifying factor is enacting radical positive change in our community. And that's whether they are acting as an example, whether they are volunteering with other organizations and initiatives and acting as advocates and activists. So that's a really difficult question to answer because it's going to change from member to member.
Sure. On the entrepreneurial side of it, what seems to be their calling though? What seems to be their success? What I'm saying with this is I'm finding that there's a sense of desire for a deeper purpose in a lot of entrepreneur women who are starting out from ground zero. So not someone that has a ton of experience in it, but someone that maybe has dabbled in side hustles or side gigs or side businesses or hobby businesses, or taking whatever they're doing and moving it to the next level where they are actually going to supplement income with it, or they're going to trade out their 9-to-5, or they're going to actually step both feet into this world. Now, there seems to be an overwhelming desire for purpose to be a part of it. And the financial piece of it isn't the number one driving piece of it. So right. Having that deep connection to, yes, the purpose ends up being, that's the success. So whatever the reason is behind starting the business or building the business or taking it past, a kitchen table venture is the purpose that's driven behind it.
Yeah. So I would absolutely agree with that 100%. Like I find that, and I think it might even be in a lot of cases, a generational thing, like I'm a millennial.
Possibly.
But so the women in Innovate Her KC, like they are mothers and wives and business women, and there are all of these different facets to who they are as people. But I think that the one thing that they all share in common, or that we all share in common, is this, to your point, desire for purpose. And so I almost feel like in a lot of cases, it's not about the money. It's not about the notoriety. But it's really about how can we serve and how can we impact? And I think that's so cool.
It is cool. And I think that's why, people, you and I run in a similar vein on what we do. And so I think that's why we do what we do as well, is because bringing that together and helping to foster that and get that out there is extremely beneficial for people that have been doing it for a while, that want to foster that growth and see other women entrepreneurs rise to the occasion that they are trying to get to and help be a part of their journey or see that grow. Let me ask you this. How did you determine, this is more of a technical question, how did you determine how you were going to monopolize Innovate Her, Casey?
Oh man. Well, so to be honest, we're still kind of in our nascent stages. Innovate Her KC has been around for a year in a couple of different forms. We started off as Startup Sheroes, but I just recently took it full time. The question about how we would kind of organize ourselves, yes, and how, like, we're still answering that question. And that question is very much related to what we're doing. So like, for instance, one of the things that I really want to do is sell merchandise.
Sure.
Because I often have a hard time finding, I have a t-shirt right now. America needs female leaders.
Yes.
But, I love that kind of stuff. And so like merchandise sales, like that could be a for-profit thing. We, on the other side, we have programming. So we have programs, the Kansas City Diverse Speaker Directory. We have the Women-Owned, Women-Led Business Directory. We're working on a gift guide and a resource guide and like all of these things. Those fall more under the nonprofit purview, like organizations and grants could potentially fund those things. And so you kind of have to let the market inform,
yes,
what you're doing. And it's really only recently when I left the Kansas City Community Startup Foundation that I had the time to devote to, like, okay, what are we? Who are we? What do we look like? You know, and we're still kind of working through that. But ultimately, we ended up with the, like, moving toward the 501c3 because we're an impact organization. And so what does that look like? And who do we contact to work with by on, like, bylaws? And who do we tap for our like board of directors and things like that? So it's been a constantly moving and shifting process.
Evolution.
Oh yes. There you go.
It evolves. But with the same underlying purpose, but just how you put one foot in front of the other and you continue to move forward, you see how the path builds itself as you're walking it.
Exactly.
And that's entrepreneurship too, 101 right there.
And I think it's really important to, and I think that entrepreneurs tend to be really, really good at this, but you have to be open to that journey. Like, you're going to go in and you're going to have this idea of what this whole thing is going to look like. And then things will change and you will bring in new information. And so the great thing, one of the many great things about entrepreneurs is how agile they are mentally, like being able to kind of pivot. And instead of seeing something as a stopping block, seeing it as something like, I can overcome this, but this is what it looks like.
Right.
Realizing probably, you know, 10 years down the line that where you ended up is completely different from where you thought you would be when you started, but that doesn't make it any less beautiful or impactful or successful.
Exactly. And that's almost a mantra in itself.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. Like, I love entrepreneurs.
I do too. It's a neat world to be in. Let me ask you one more question before, you know, we kind of get to know, not before, but as we get to know a little bit about Innovate Her, what were the steps that you took and do continue to take to now monetize the business? Because I know that you kind of worked with both sides. You have a little bit of nonprofit, you have a little bit of for-profit side of it. So the nonprofit can speak to itself, obviously getting, you know, the funding coming in, but what about monetizing, the business structure itself, and what does that look like? Nothing specific, but, you know, how do you think of that? How do you work through that? Because I know a lot of listeners, you know, are always considering what they do, and we're not outlining what they need to do, but just hearing the stories of what others have done prior to them might help get some juices flowing in their brain.
Yeah. Well, so I'll start by saying that one of the top questions that I'm asked is, well, how do you monetize that? And you're just like, well, I mean, you know, that's a difficult question to answer because, again, like it kind of changes. You know, there's that nonprofit piece, but so we are moving to a membership model with a low barrier to entry to help defray some event costs and things like that. You have to stay responsive to the market, and you have to, like, one of the things that I have learned is, again, you know, what I thought the need that I was serving and the problem that I was addressing is totally different from what is actually needed. And so, like, for instance, this speaker directory that we have, like, that was born out of a conversation that I had with a meeting planner and organizer who was having difficulty. So, like, being responsive to, I guess, kind of what the universe is telling you.
Sure, absolutely.
To cultivate products, but then being very intentional about the things that you are, what you're putting out into the market, you know, getting to that MVP, but then asking for continuous feedback and figuring out, like, what your value proposition is. Like, if you don't have that on lock and on point, you have nothing. And I think that that's kind of where I started personally, like figuring out what gap are we filling and what does that look like before we even started having the monetization conversation. Mm-hmm. Once you have that, the answer pretty much, it'll tell you, it'll just tell you.
So how long did it take? What was that cycle of figuring out what that is? Then, you know, what's the gap and what pain point are you solving?
I mean, it took, It's taken over a year, and I mean, it's still happening. But so the first thing, like, I love SWOT analysis. And so I got our leadership team together, and I was like, because there are any number of organizations in Kansas City that serve women. And so let's look at what they do and let's see what we do, how we do it differently. So we actually did a pretty intensive SWOT analysis to figure out where those holes in the market were. And then I am constantly putting surveys out into the group, like, what do you want to see from us? How can we better serve you? Who are you? So, like, for instance, in Facebook, one of the things, like, you can, in a Facebook group, you can track, you know, gender, you can track certain markers, but you can't track, like, where did these women come from? Are they entrepreneurs? Are they educators? Are they designers? Are they artists? Like, what, who are these women? Figuring out who they are.
Right.
And then going from there. Right. So, I mean, it's been a long ongoing process.
And I think it shifts as well, though, as it, that's part of the shifting piece of entrepreneurship too, is that you, your pain point may also evolve.
Yeah, absolutely. When we first started, we were an entrepreneur specific organization. And that was really, it was really interesting because so I invited like 50 of my friends and we were serving female entrepreneurs and that was what we did. But then over the course of time, as it became a self-perpetuating system, when women started inviting other women because they were finding value in it, we started seeing we started to see those women who were transcending industry and sector. And so now, you know, there was this realization about halfway through that we're no longer an entrepreneurship organization specifically. We have a lot of entrepreneurs that we serve, but the unifying factor is women's leadership. All of these women are leaders, each in their own way. And so the narrative had to change around that because we were very entrepreneur heavy and we still share entrepreneurial resources and community things, but we had to become more. If that makes sense.
Totally. Totally makes sense. And I also think, you know, along the lines of what your shirt says that, you know, what does it say?
America needs female leaders.
America needs female leaders. You know, yeah. I think that in general, we have a rise of women, I'll say entrepreneurs, but in the case, in the bigger picture, just because I serve women entrepreneurs almost predominantly, but in the bigger picture, I think that there is a feeling of kind of just this void that we feel called to go ahead and step into each in our own right in order to bring that forward. And those are the women that, you know, come to you and are attracted to bonding together over that common element that we need to step forward. We need to be the change makers that we know we can be, you know, so we are ready for that. And I think the future is really bright to be able to have those women entrepreneurs be women entrepreneurs and women leaders be moving us, you know, helping us move forward in general. I still think we have a little bit of, you know, little ways to go before it's understood at the level that we understand it.
Well, and so one of the pieces that I love most about Innovate Her KC is, like I said a little bit earlier, like, we still have a high contingent of female entrepreneurs in our group, but all of the women in our group are entrepreneurial. And I think,
yes.
You know, I learned this from the Kansas City Startup Foundation during my time there. You know, you don't have to be an entrepreneur to be entrepreneurial, but entrepreneurial is a way of thinking. And it is a way of thinking creatively and responsively and resourcefully and quickly. To overcome these obstacles and figure out the best way to bring products to market and to launch initiatives. And so being able to serve these kinds of women is the most edifying experience of my life, certainly. And I'm sure you feel the same way.
Absolutely.
Not only do you see, so I always try to explain like being a woman in business. Like I came up through male-dominated industries and some pretty toxic environments. And the thing is, like, I had to be good at my job.
Right.
And I dealt with things that I should have never had to deal with, but there was always that like other layer. For instance, you know, I could never cry. Like I had a nightmare boss. He was a bad person and he would make me cry. But the thing is, I could never do it at work. And it was because if I cried, I would be the reason that the next woman wasn't hired because, quote unquote, right, women are too emotional. And so there was that weight on me. And it was in addition to the responsibility of being great at my job, which I was.
Right.
And so there was always like this other piece. And so Innovate Her KC and any work that people do with female entrepreneurs that is related to being a female entrepreneur, like there is a recognition and an honor of like the journey is different. Mm-hmm. And so there are unique things that women experience along their journey. There are unique struggles, there are unique triumphs. And right. So being able to recognize that and to amplify that and to share that with other women is absolutely incredible. I love it so much.
So what's the future for Innovate Her KC look like for you?
Oh my gosh. So we have some really cool partnerships in the work right now, but my kind of 2 to 5 year plan, we'll see how this shakes out, is a leadership accelerator program.
Oh, neat.
That's the dream. You know, finding cohorts of women I learned the accelerator concept from the startup community. So thank you for that. But how do you arm women who are already leading each in their own way, but how do you arm them with the resources, tools, and networks that they need in order to hit the next level? And so that's the dream. And this would be like cross-disciplinary, cross-industry. Because I think, to me, that's like a really important piece of it. but bring these women together who are typically siloed, make sure that they know each other, and then give them everything that they need to go forth and kick ass.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it just and like makes my heart smile.
I know. Isn't that it's so purpose-driven? It's such good purposeful stuff. That's good. I think a women accelerator would be really, really neat. You could run into the, you know, general accelerators all the time, but focus specifically, I think, is lacking in the industry, just as, you know, funding for women startups is lacking in the industry.
Absolutely.
So getting those two on par and moving them forward for women entrepreneurs, women startups, women leaders, you know, however they bring that to the accelerator, will make a drastic difference in the landscape going forward. So I applaud you for taking that on.
Oh gosh. You know, it's an honor and a privilege and probably some of the hardest work I'll ever do in my life.
But so rewarding.
Absolutely.
Well, Lauren, I want to thank you for being on the call today with me. We could go on forever and ever and ever because there's like a million questions in my brain, you know, about, you know, spurred on from other things, but we want to keep it somewhat succinct here for the podcast and for the listeners. So I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this story. It is such a resource to have that anybody out in your area or anybody in general, you know, your information I'll have in the show notes and, you know, connect. You know, I'd love
Please,
to see.
Reach out.
Exactly. I'd love to see people connect where they need to connect. It's not this big thing of, you know, one person versus the other person versus the other person. No, we rise together. And that's the whole purpose of this podcast is because I want the women entrepreneurs out there to be able to find the resources, hear the stories, and know that they can actually move it forward. So
thank you. That's amazing. I think what you're doing is so cool.
Thank you. And thank you for sharing your story. I super appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Until next time, guys, we're going to wrap this up. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the FemNation podcast. Be sure to check out our show notes for more details from the episode. If you love the show, share it with a friend or drop me a note. I'd love to hear from you over at whitedovegannon.com or find me on social media. Until next time, keep moving forward.